praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee served the Lord faithfully for more than 70 years, culminating with his exhaustive commentary on the entire scriptures called Life Study of the Bible. We're happy to bring you recorded excerpts from his ministry. At the end of the program, we'll give you the website where you can find out more about the remarkable ministry of these two men. But for now, we hope you enjoyed today's program.
Welcome to the Life Study of Genesis. This is program number 116, which corresponds to printed Life Study message 102. And with me for the program today is Bob Denker. Welcome to the program, Bob.
Good to be back with you, Matt.
Bob, today we are taking another look at the spiritual significance of Jacob's prophecy concerning his sons. Before we begin today, could you tell us briefly the main points of what Jacob said to his sons?
Yes, Matt. In Genesis 49, we see Jacob's prophecy concerning his 12 sons. And this prophecy was with blessings to them. Well, we all know that the 12 sons of Israel eventually became the nation of Israel, who were God's corporate people in the Old Testament. And according to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 10, the nation of Israel in the Old Testament was a type of the church in the New Testament. Therefore, we can say that Jacob's prophecy with blessings concerning his 12 sons has a spiritual application to the church with all the believers. The first three sons in Jacob's prophecy in Genesis 49 were Reuben, Simeon, and Levi. According to the record in Genesis, Reuben was immoral, and Simeon and Levi were violent in their dispositions. So these three sons represent all of us as sinners before we believe in the Lord Jesus. Judah comes next. And Judah, of course, is a type of Christ. In fact, Christ himself came out of the tribe of Judah. And the prophecy concerning Judah shows that Christ is the overcomer. He gained the victory over God's enemy in his human living and in his death on the cross. And after gaining such a victory, Christ resurrected and he ascended and is reigning in God's kingdom. Then, according to the prophecy concerning Judah, Christ will come again as the peacemaker, the peace giver, as Shiloh in his second coming. So with Judah, what we have is the contents of the complete gospel, with Christ coming, winning the victory or redeeming the fallen sinners through his death, defeating Satan who had captured them, and also resurrecting and ascending to reign in the kingdom of God, and then coming back at the end of the age to bring God's kingdom to the earth. After Judah, we have Zebulun, who was located in Galilee near the seashore, and he was a haven for ships. And these ships represent all the apostles who went out after Christ's resurrection to preach the gospel, to carry the cargo concerning Christ and his salvation to the whole world. And then Issachar comes next, and he portrays the genuine church life as the issue of the preaching of the gospel. Well, Matt, this certainly is a wonderful sequence, and it accurately portrays and typifies the history and the experience of the church and the individual believers in the New Testament. So in this program, Matt, we come to Jacob's prophecy concerning Dan, Gad, Asher, and Naphtali.
Thanks, Bob. Let's get the details, and we'll come back in a few minutes to discuss it more. Here's Witness Lee with today's Life Study of Genesis.
Now we come to the third group. You do have a link here. In the second group, you have Judah as a young lion. Now, in the third group, at the beginning, you have Dan also as the young lion. And that shows this third group is a continuation of the second. This young lion is something further than the young lion in Judah. The young lion Judah was for catching prey, but this young lion here was fighting for more land to get Christ. In Judges chapter 18, it tells us Dan, as a young lion, fought for more land right after he got the city of Dan. An idol was set up. The image made by Mecca was set up. And the Bible says what? It says, well, God's tabernacle was in shadow. There was such an idol in the city of Dan. This means some Christians may be able to gain more Christ. But right after their gain of Christ, they set up another worshiping center. According to Deuteronomy, among God's people in the good land, there should only be one unique center. Where God's name is there and where God's habitation is there, there should be only one worshiping center. By that time, the worshiping center was in Shiloh because God's temple was there and God's priests were there. But Dan gained a victory. And this victory made Dan independent. You know, all independence comes from pride, comes from some gain. Praise, don't think the spiritual gain doesn't make you proud. When the spiritual pride comes, you will say, why I should go to Shiloh? Couldn't I set up something? Right away, another worshiping center was set up. That was the idol in the city of Dan. Well, look into the Christian history. This happened again and again. Whensoever there is one, or there is a group of victors gaining more Christ, their gaining of Christ made them proud, independent, not willing to submit to others, but to set up another worship. You have the worshiping there in Shiloh, here we have. You have the praise there, here we have. But what they have there as praise were ordained by God. But what you have here altogether is something man-made. This is the subtle one coming in again. The old serpent in Genesis 3 now comes in Judges chapter 18. The young lion right away becomes what? Becomes a serpent. And this serpent is more than that in chapter 3 of Genesis. Because this serpent today has horns. It bites the horse's heels to cause the riders to fall backward. In other words, this snake is a big frustration. It's a big holding back. While people are riding on, he comes to bite the heel of the horse to cause you to fall down from your riding, to frustrate you from going on. Up to this point, the prophesying and blessing father, Jacob, he right away cried, oh Lord, I have waited for your salvation. I think if we do have the sensation when we listen to things up to this point, we all will say, oh Lord, Lord, save us, Lord. Save us. Save us from Dan. Save us from the other worshiping center. Save us from the idol. Save us from the horned serpent. Jacob not only prayed, he called on the name.
Bob, we've come to a section dealing with the tendency of God's people to divide themselves from one another according to the example of Dan. This sad story has often been repeated throughout the history of Christianity. What can we glean from this word to save us from repeating this grievous sin before God?
Yes, Matt, we need to have a clear understanding of Jacob's prophecy concerning Dan. For this, we need to look at three portions in the Word. The first is Jacob's prophecy in Genesis 49, and the second in Deuteronomy 33. Moses prophesied that Dan would be a young lion, a lion's whelp. So a lion, as we have seen, is for fighting. And then we need to combine these two prophecies with the actual history of the children of Israel while they were in the period of the judges. In Judges chapter 18, Dan fought to gain for himself the land east of the Jordan River for his tribe to enjoy as their inheritance. So Dan was victorious there in gaining the land for himself. This typifies that it is possible for believers in Christ to fight against God's enemy to gain more of Christ for their enjoyment. But after their victory, they need to be very, very careful because their victory may make them proud of what they have accomplished. If this happens, a man becomes proud. This means he becomes independent. He becomes independent of God and God's ordination, and he becomes independent of other believers. In this case, as we see from Judges chapter 18, Dan set up an idol in his territory that became a divisive worshiping center. God's people already had a place of worship in Shiloh, but Dan set up an idol in his territory, and he caused the people of Israel to stumble and to fall into division and degradation. This is a real warning to us that even though we may be successful in our spiritual pursuits, if we're not careful, we may become proud and independent, and therefore we may commit a serious and grievous sin against God by creating division among his people. God wants his people to be in oneness, and he hates division. So Dan did something here that caused God's people to stumble and fall. So he is likened to a serpent in the way, a horned snake that bites the horse on his heel and causes the rider to fall backward. This is a picture of what happens when a division is created. God's people are no longer able to go on in a good, healthy way. Instead, they fall into degradation. So this is a real warning to us, this situation regarding Dan. We don't want to repeat this. Instead of becoming proud after we gained the victory, we should be humbled and we should do everything we can to keep the oneness among God's people.
Thank you, Bob. Let's rejoin our life study.
The Father's prayer, the Father's calling was heard and was answered and was fulfilled. After Dan, you have Gad. With Dan, you do have to defeat them. But now, with Gad, the victory comes back. Even in our spiritual experience, it is exactly the same. Some time ago, I got a defeat. But through the answer of God to some of the things, the salvation of the Lord came to me. Then I recovered the victory. The victory came back to me again. Now I'm no more the Dan, but I'm the Gad. Victory always gives you the enlargement. And the enlargement is always what? The expansion of space. So here it says what? He provided the first part of the land. The history says the 12 tribes, the first entered the east of Jordan. Especially 2.5 tribes, Reuben and Gad and half of Manasseh. These 2.5 tribes, they enter into this place. And they begged Moses to give them, and Moses did it. But Moses charged them, saying, you shouldn't stay here to enjoy the good land because your brothers haven't got the rest of the land yet. You must go with them to fight the battle to get the land. After you get all the land, then you divide the land in a fair way, in the justice of God. What does this signify? Dan's failure was his pride. He gained more land. He became proud. He set up another center. But Gad, after his victory, gaining more land, I tell you, he was caring for other brothers. In the spiritual experiences, when you gain more land, you gain more Christ, beware of your pride. Never set up another worshiping center. But on the other hand, you have to take care of your brother. Until you go on to fight the battle to get the land that all your brothers may get a portion. Gad has a few good points. Number one, he brought back the victory. Number two, he was enlarged. And number three, he tears the enemy into pieces. And number four, even he has provided a place for himself, he would not enjoy it by himself, leaving others with no portion. He would go on to fight with others until everyone will have a portion.
Bob, there's a vivid contrast before us as we examine these two sons of Jacob, Dan and Gad. And we really need to look at them together to get the full picture, because both experienced some spiritual attainment or victory. But the result was vastly different. Develop this contrast for us, as I feel that there's a lesson here for all of us.
Yes, Matt, there is a great lesson here. As we saw in the previous portion, Dan gained the victory, and he gained the land for himself. But this caused him to become proud and to become independent of his brothers. So in his pride, he set up a divisive worshiping center in his own territory with an idol to be worshiped by the people. This represents a great fall and a great degradation among God's people. But when we come to Gad here, we see that Gad also, according to Jacob's prophecy in Genesis 49 and Deuteronomy 33, was victorious. So this represents the recovery of the victory after the fall. But instead of caring for himself and neglecting his brothers or becoming independent of them, instead of Gad becoming proud and doing something only for himself, and thereby causing God's people to fall, Gad joined his brothers, and he crossed the Jordan River, and he fought with them so that they could gain their portion of the good land on the other side of the Jordan. So Gad cared for his brothers. He was not self-centered. He was not proud and independent of his brothers, but he took care of his brothers and he fought for them so that they could gain their portion of the land. This represents what we should be when we are victorious in our Christian life and we gain more of Christ for our enjoyment. We should not become proud and independent and care only for ourselves. We must care for our brothers as well. We need to fight for them so that they too can gain Christ. This is the proper way to respond. After we have gained the victory in Christ, we need to fight together with our brothers so that they also may gain the victory and participate in the rich inheritance of Christ.
Thank you, Bob. Let's go back to Witness Lee for the last section of today's life study of Genesis.
Then we come to Asher. You have to believe the sequence was no doubt under God's inspiration. Amen. After Gad, you have Asher. Right away with what? With food. His food is rich. Of course, with a victorious one, the food should be there. And not only so, talking about the food, after this, it talks about the sandal. Under your sandal shall be iron and copper. These are, as we have got to know already, for what? For fighting the battle and for building. He has the food. He has also the materials for making the weapons. So it says, as your days shall be your rest. The word rest is not a regular word for rest. It's really hard to translate. It means safety. It means security. It means, of course, strength. It means peace. You don't need to worry. You don't need to be in a hurry. You don't need to rush. But Asher has a leisurely life. Secured. Guaranteed, all the time safe, and all the time sufficient. All these meanings are included in this one word. Here is the maturity of life. No doubt, right after Asher is Naphtali. And Naphtali comes in neither as a young lion, nor as a lioness, but as a hind. You do not only have the victorious Christ as the lamb, but you have the resurrected Christ as a released hind, leaping, skipping on the top of the mountains. Nothing could frustrate him. He doesn't need a paved way. He can leap over all high mountains because he is in resurrection. Now, in resurrection, it corresponds with Matthew 28. First, it tells us he's risen. Then, lastly, it tells us all the disciples were gathered to him, and he shouted them, go and disciple all the nations. Whatever I teach you, you teach them. I tell you, this is to give the beautiful word. In resurrection, we can speak. We can utter the beautiful word. Now is a mature life in resurrection.
Bob, following this section on Dan and Gad, we come to Asher and Naphtali, one bringing in the rich food and rest and security, a real maturity in life. And in Naphtali, we have a rich picture of resurrection, and in resurrection, we become those that utter the beautiful word. Bob, what is it for us in resurrection to utter this beautiful word?
Well, Matt, this is a wonderful expression, uttering beautiful words. Here it says that Naphtali is a hind let loose. That means he's a released person. And in the Bible, the hind, a small deer that can leap on mountains as portrayed in Song of Songs chapter 2 and is not bothered by any kind of obstacles, represents the resurrected Christ who was released from all hindrances and all barriers and obstacles in his resurrection. And after his resurrection, as Witness Lee said, Christ gathered his disciples and he charged them to go into all the world and disciple the nations. baptizing them and teaching them according to all that Christ had taught his disciples. So here, this is a picture of the proclaiming of the gospel, the beautiful words spoken by Naphtali in resurrection signify the beautiful words of the gospel of Christ that are proclaimed by the disciples of Christ who live in his resurrection and who serve him in resurrection. So we go forth in the resurrection of Christ to proclaim beautiful words to sinners so that they may be saved. And we also proclaim more beautiful words. These are the words in the epistles of the New Testament, which also are Christ's speaking through the apostles. So we proclaim the full gospel of Christ to all men and make disciples of these men by teaching them everything that the Lord spoke while he was on the earth and also all that the apostles wrote in their union with Christ. So this is our proclaiming of beautiful words. The more we experience the resurrection of Christ, the more we'll be able to utter words of glad tidings that are contained in the four Gospels and in all the epistles. And the issue of this will be the salvation of sinners and the actual building up of the church as the body of Christ.
Thank you, Bob. It was encouraging to see the negative situation swallowed up in Christ's resurrection. This is our need as well. Thanks for coming in today.
It's my pleasure, Matt.
And thank you for listening. If you'd like more information, you can call us toll-free at 1-888-LIFESTUDY. That's 1-888-543-3788. Or you can write to Living Stream Ministry, P.O. Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814. And you can send your email to radio@lsm.org. On behalf of Bob Denker, this is Matt Miller. Thanks for listening today.
This program is brought to you by Living Stream Ministry, publisher of the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. To find out more about these two 20th century New Testament ministers, we invite you to visit our website, lsm.org. There you'll find more than 600 titles from both authors available online. You can also listen to recordings of Witness Lee's spoken messages and see the full array of material that Living Stream has to offer. Again, that's lsm.org. Thank you for listening today.